Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. The Titans have touched down in London, taking on the Baltimore Ravens at Tottenham Hotspur on Sunday. And joining us now to preview that game is Gary Stein of Monumental Sports and Entertainment. He covers the Baltimore Ravens, and it is brought to you by Calabria Pizza. Come try their pizza in Goodlettsville and Mount Juliet, because life is too short to eat bad pizza. Gary, appreciate your time and appreciate you for joining us. One thing that I've been really enjoying watching this season is the difference in the Baltimore Ravens offense. It feels like Lamar is throwing the ball more. It feels like he's throwing it with a bit more confidence. Is that Lamar just kind of settling into his strengths? Is that the Todd Monken effect? And am I seeing that right? Does it feel like a little bit more of a passing-involved Baltimore Ravens offense?
Well, first of all, Pep Curio and all that jazz as far as England. it is a different offense, guys. There's no doubt about it, and it is the Todd Monken factor. You know, if you really watch the way the offense operates now, and I don't know if D-Mace is there, but he can tell you this firsthand, you know, they're much more spread out than they've ever been before. Mm-hmm. That they go to more three and four wides, but even when they do that, the tight end branches out a little. So, you know, and the reason why that is they want to create space for the playmakers. This is not so much an over-the-top offense to take the top off the defense. This is more of a catch the ball in space and make a play, because you've got playmakers. You've got the guys, you know, like Zay Flowers and Nelson Agholor and other players that can, you know, do that just to sail out of the backfield. So that's really where it is. And also the option of Lamar running. Yeah. When the field is opened up more, when there's more space, there are wider lanes that are created, which allow Lamar, if he decides to take off, to have more space. So I think that's what you're seeing with the Ravens offense. I can tell you from an analyst perspective, I just wish that they would be more consistent, and we can talk about that, I'm sure, as the interview goes on.
Yeah, Gary Stein of Monumental Sports and Entertainment is with us. You ask if D-Mace is here. He's actually got his boots on the ground in London. So he's playing hooky and, you know, gallivanting around shopping and around Europe, but we're excited for D-Mace that he gets to be there. But that is one thing that I wanted to ask you is the consistency of this offense. And you mentioned the playmakers. I mean, Zay Flowers, it felt like couldn't catch a cold last week. What's going on there?
Well, not only that, but he was tripped up by the 30-yard line. I don't know if you saw that play.
And it's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the flu. It's contagious. I mean, yeah, he dropped a couple, got tripped up by the 30. Rashad Bateman dropped a touchdown pass. Mark Andrews dropped a touchdown pass. Nelson Agholor dropped what would have been a key first down third down conversion for the Ravens. Justice Hill fumbled as he crossed the 50-yard line on a drive. Lamar fumbles. He throws an interception. You know, look, I mean, it's really, at the end of the day, look, they're going to catch 95 out of these 100 passes, but it just so happened, okay, that collectively they dropped 7 in the same game. There's no – the Ravens were clearly a better team than the Pittsburgh Steelers this past Sunday. They're clearly a better team than the Indianapolis Colts that they lost to a couple weeks ago. They should be 5-0 right now. It may not be a resounding 5-0, but they should be 5-0. Instead, they're 3-2. And you know what? In the NFL, as in any other sport, your record is what you say. You are what your record says you are. Okay. So in my view, they're a 3-2 team that's got holes. They need to focus and they need to make plays. They're just not making enough big plays, and they're giving the ball away just too much.
We're talking to Gary Stein from Monumental Sports and Entertainment. He covers the Baltimore Ravens. Gary, this Baltimore Ravens team has been one of the more, how do I say this, injury-prone teams the last couple of years, been dealing with a bunch of key injuries. Last week we saw a lot of guys coming back, key players like left tackle Ronnie Stanley, cornerback Marlon Humphreys. I felt like they had decent games, but they didn't really play up to their level. What's the insight on these guys, and how are they kind of coming back from their injuries, and do we expect them to kind of be more of their high level in London against the Titans?
You know, when you come back from an injury, you don't perform necessarily well or to 100% of your abilities that first game back. And I think a lot of it has to do with lack of practice, number one. And then also, you know, forget about practice for a minute. Then the game, right? You don't have that game intensity, that game speed, that game crunch, that game hit. So when you're coming back from injury, you're missing all of that. And I think that's what you saw with Marlon Humphrey. I thought Marlon did a pretty good job all game long, but when push came to shove at the end of the game, Pickens got away from him for a 41-yard touchdown, and that was the difference. Stanley's a little hesitant. I mean, to be honest with you, guys, he's had season-ending injuries 2 years in a row before last year. He's kind of not the same player that he was in general, although I think he's still a very good player. Patrick McCary, who's like the sixth man of the offensive line, went down with an injury, although he should play on Sunday. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's just natural and normal to not be at 100%. Now, if you're going to ask why the injury bug has hit the Ravens, they are scratching their collective heads about that. They fired their strength and conditioning coordinator before last season. They're mulling a change from going from artificial to grass. They just really don't have an answer. The injuries have been wide and varied. Some of them have been non-contact. So I don't really think that they have a good answer as to why they've been so injury-prone the last couple of years.
Gary, another one here for you. The NFL in general is ultra-familiar with the Steelers and Ravens rivalry since Tomlin and Harbaugh have taken the helm in 2007 and 2008. But it seems like these two teams really beat up on each other when they match up. The Ravens and Steelers both have pretty bad records the week after they play against each other. Is this something that might be a concern, and then also along with the travel to London as they face the Titans?
Yeah, I think it is a concern. I mean, they'll never tell you that, obviously. But I do think that the Steelers and Ravens do beat each other up. To be honest with you, I think the Ravens and the Titans beat each other up. I mean, those games are wars. You guys probably remember when we were in the same division all together back in the early 2000s. I mean, yeah, Steelers-Ravens was a big rivalry, but I would say Steelers-Titans back in the day, same division, D-Mays played for the Titans, was probably, if not as good, just as good. So, yeah, I think they are beat up. I think traveling to London is a pain in the you-know-where, probably for Tennessee, too. No, nobody's going to use that as an excuse, though, as you know. You don't get a bye after you play the Steelers. So they're just going to have to lace it up and do the best they can. I think it's going to be a great game. The Raven-Titan games are always great games. So, but all those factors aside, let's just play football on Sunday.
Absolutely. These are two incredibly physical teams, and it's always fun to watch. And it's funny that you mention how the Ravens are taking precautions to limit injuries. The Titans are also in a very similar situation, 2 years in a row, most injured team in the league. And you say they're going from turf to natural grass. Well, the Titans have gone from natural grass to turf to try and eliminate injuries. So I think that every team, GM, and owner in the league is just trying to scratch their heads and say, how can we eliminate these injuries? But one injured player that is coming back, and at least off the injury report, is Odell Beckham Jr. And a bit of a slow start in his first season in Baltimore. What do you expect, and really, do you expect much from Odell Beckham Jr. this weekend and throughout the rest of the season?
Well, I think your last question, Caroline, do you expect, is the key question.
Yeah.
Because right now, you talk about scratching our heads. We're scratching our heads about Odell Beckham. Mm-hmm. Great guy, great presence in the locker room. Kind of a mentor to some of the younger guys. But how much does he have left? I mean, you say he's off the injury report, and he is. You're absolutely right. He's scheduled to play on Sunday. But, I mean, if it's not one thing, it's another. And, you know, it wasn't knee. He won the Super Bowl. He got hurt in the game, an ACL, out basically for the year, whatever. Now it's an ankle. Now it's the other ankle. You know, there comes a time and there comes an age. And I'm not saying this is it for Odell. Who knows? Maybe he laces it up on Sunday and everything. He gets a magic elixir and off he goes to the races, and that would be great. But the evidence so far over the first five games of the season is that he's not going to be a consistent, reliable option for the Ravens for the rest of the year. And if I had to place a wager on it right now, which I'm not because I'm not a betting man, I would say that my opinion would be I just don't think you'll be able to count on him and get a lot from him the rest of the year.
So going into the season, and we're talking to Gary Stein with Monumental Sports and Entertainment, I thought this Ravens offense was going to be really, really good. But my questions lied on the defensive side. What I've seen from this defense, it seems like the defense has been outperforming the offense to this point. I want to ask you a specific question about Patrick Queen. Going into this year, they declined his fifth-year option, but that pairing there, an inside linebacker with him and Roquan Smith, have been quite impressive. What do you think the Ravens' stance are with Patrick Queen and how these two guys have really turned this defense into a very dynamic unit?
Yeah, it's a great point, and that is the key to the defensive unit, Willie, and it's not done by many other teams in the NFL. Most teams in the NFL, when it comes to linebacker play, will highlight the edge rushers, obviously, to create pressure on the quarterback. The Ravens have done it the other way. The Ravens have inverted that. They have built their defense out from their two middle linebackers, or I should say their two inside linebackers, Queen and Roquan Smith. Having said that, okay, and there is a lot of production there, I just don't see how they're going to be able to pay Patrick Queen what he's going to want to remain in Baltimore, because they gave the big contract to Roquan Smith. It's $100 million, over half of it's guaranteed. It's a five-year deal, so he's going to be at least locked up through that deal for the next couple years. I just can't see them spending back-to-back big money on inside linebackers. So you ask the question, what's the stance on Patrick Queen? They're going to let it play out, and they're going to make him an offer at the end of the year, no doubt. But if I were Patrick Queen, I would test free agency, and I'm sure he's going to get a bigger deal somewhere else.
Last one here for you, Gary. The outside linebacker, Oweh. I feel like I've been hearing a ton of things about his potential in being, you know, the next really good Ravens edge rusher. He's been banged up all year long. What is the latest on him, and when do you think the Ravens can kind of get him back into the mix with this defense?
He's out for this game on Sunday. That was announced today. He may be out for a couple more weeks as well. And just as a sidelight to that, guys, Ojabo, the guy on the other end, those are their two big pass rushers, at least right now, Oweh and Ojabo. Ojabo could be out for the year, so that's a big blow for the Ravens. They're trying to get Tyus Bowser back, who was their best pass rusher from a year ago. And he is off of the, what do they call it? Not the injured list, the injured reserve. So I don't think he's going to play this week either. So, and then getting back to Oweh, yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, this was the guy that didn't have a sack his senior year at Penn State, by the way. But you definitely saw the potential. You definitely saw the power and the speed. He's just not lived up to it. He can't disengage. You know, maybe he's not big enough, maybe he's not quick enough, but if you watch the film, he just has trouble disengaging from the blocker. Whether it be a running back coming up for the blitz, if he takes a loop inside, or he just maintains that edge rush. So, you know, again, he just hasn't lived up to it. Will he? The card's still out. I mean, he's going to, you know, they're going to fulfill the contract. He signed up through next year. You know, does it take players a while sometimes? Yeah, I guess it does. Hoping that it happens for him, but you're right, it still hasn't.
Gary Stein is with us, Baltimore Ravens insider for Monumental Sports and Entertainment. So the Ravens are one of the best teams, best third down offenses in the league, fifth best third down offense in the NFL. That's one area that we've seen the Titans really struggle. Third and five and less, that's where the Titans thrive. Third six plus, that's where the Titans really kind of get in an iffy scenario. What do you think, in your opinion, makes the Ravens such a good third down offense?
The threat of Lamar running the football. I think that forces the defense to spy for the most part and takes away a player to defend. So on third and five, or, you know, whatever, it doesn't really matter, six, five, three, you know, the threat of Lamar running is just an added playmaking hassle that the defense has to adjust to and account for. Having said that, I will counter that third down statistic with the Ravens second in the league in fumbles. You can convert all the third downs you want, guys, but if you're going to fumble that ball when you cross the 50 or get into the red zone like Kenyon Drake did against Indianapolis, it doesn't matter how many third downs you convert. So I think the Ravens need to protect the football. Full stop, bottom line, it's the number one problem on this team right now. Protect the ball.
Gary Stein is with us. And I'm looking at this matchup, you know, the Ravens with one of the best running offenses in the league, because it's not just Lamar Jackson. I mean, it's Gus Edwards, it's Justice Hill, it's Melvin Gordon, so on and so forth. That it can, I mean, pick your poison in the run game with the Baltimore Ravens. And really, for the most part, with the exception of last week against the Indianapolis Colts, the Titans are one of the best run defenses in the NFL with that stout front seven. Give me your opinion on this matchup and how key that's going to be for the Ravens to win that run offense versus Titans run defense matchup.
Yeah, I think it's the battle at the line of scrimmage is pretty much the key to every game, as long as you protect the ball. Protecting the ball is the number one thing. If you don't turn the ball over, you're and this is statistically proven, you have a 35% better chance of winning any game, any team, any opponent, any time. But it doesn't matter if it's the Cardinals against the Eagles or whatever. You have a 35% better chance of winning the game if you protect the ball and don't turn it over. Zero turnovers. Having said that, games are won at the line of scrimmage. And again, I think the Ravens spreading teams out this year creates wider running lanes for the Ravens to exploit. The Ravens have very quick athletic guards that can get out and pull. You'll see a lot of stunts on the line of scrimmage that the Ravens pull. They rarely push straight ahead. There's a lot of, there's a lot of pulling and stunting as far as that O-line is concerned. To be quite honest, I'm not that familiar with the Titans defense, and I'm not sure what they do up front. You can probably tell me better than that. But that's the big thing for the Ravens, is the quickness of the guards and their ability to get out in space and block into that second level that's allowed the Raven runners, including Lamar Jackson, I think they may even lead the league in rushes of 10-plus yards, on a play. And that's the key right there. Quick, athletic guards that can pull.
I said I had – that was my last question for you, Gary. But you know what? I wanted to kind of get into a big conversation with this Baltimore Ravens team. We've seen Lamar Jackson win the MVP in the 2019 season, but we've also seen him be 1-3 in the playoffs and come up short in certain big moments, and he hasn't played at the end of the year in the past two seasons. People are saying, is he elite quarterback? Is he not? Can he lead this Ravens team to a Super Bowl? What is your stance on what kind of quarterback and what tier Lamar Jackson is in?
These are great questions. Before I answer the question, I will say, if you look back, and I could be wrong on this, maybe I have it off by a year, I don't think Peyton Manning won a playoff game in his first three seasons, and it could even be more, because I know the first season or two they were awful, and then they got good. So it was a while before Peyton Manning was able to win a playoff game. He lost a couple memorable ones to Tom Brady, et cetera, et cetera. So, let's just have that in the background, number one. Now, getting back to Lamar, this is the single biggest criticism of Lamar. Great regular season quarterback when he's available and healthy. Obviously exciting, one of the most exciting players in the league, but basically has pitched a shutout has been pitched a shutout in playoffs. This is a cross that he bears. He totally gets it. He owns up to it. He says, I got to do better. I got to be better. I can't be considered among the elite quarterbacks until I do it. Where do I stand on what tier he's in? I think there are two kinds of quarterbacks that you can win with in the NFL. You win because of quarterbacks, and you win with quarterbacks. Okay. I'm not even talking about the teams that lose. They're not even in this conversation. I'm talking about winning teams. And I think Lamar is a quarterback that you can win because of. Not that you win with. With is like a Brock Purdy, in my opinion, okay? A Jimmy Garoppolo. They're good quarterbacks, don't get me wrong. But you know what? It's the system, okay? In Baltimore, Lamar is the system, okay? Now, having said that, he's not a Brady. He's not a Mahomes. He's not a Manning. He's not a Rodgers. He's none of those guys. But he's never done it like that before. So I would put him in the second tier of top quarterbacks in the NFL, not among the elite.
Gary Stein of Monumental Sports and Entertainment, appreciate your time. Cannot thank you enough. We'll chat with you soon. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Love it, guys. Enjoy it. Best of luck.
All right. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate that. I would probably agree with his evaluation of Lamar Jackson. I think it almost teeters on a quarterback that you win with and a quarterback that you win because of. But I lean because of, because that entire offense is predicated on what Lamar Jackson can do. Like, that team is predicated on Lamar Jackson and his ability. And what defenses do is focused in on Lamar Jackson, the threat of his legs. Like Gary mentioned, you know, the Baltimore Ravens are such a good third down offense because you're forcing the defense to dedicate one player to spy Lamar Jackson and to make sure that he doesn't make plays with his legs. And we've seen him do so many times. So I do lean toward Lamar Jackson's a quarterback that you win because that team is centered around Lamar Jackson.
I think that was one of the better answers that I have ever gotten of an assessment of Lamar Jackson. And you can hear Gary's passion for this Ravens team. He is energetic about this team. You can tell that he has a lot invested in the Ravens. That's what I got from that interview. And the fact of the matter is he's right. This team does win because of Lamar Jackson. But with that being said, they have also lost
because of
Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. I went to his playoff record, 1-3 in the playoffs. You know, they lost to the Titans back in 2019. They had won 12 straight in the regular season, 14-2, unanimous MVP, number one seed, and they lost because Lamar turned the ball over, I believe, on 3, maybe 4 occasions in that game. You also look at the following year against the Titans. They won here at Nissan Stadium because of that big run in the game that completely changed. And then the following week when they played Josh Allen and the Bills to try and go to the AFC Championship, they lost that game because of that crucial pick six that he threw on the goal line that completely turned that game around. I believe the Ravens only put up 3 points in that game. So, absolutely right. Lamar is super electric quarterback. Lamar is the reason this Ravens team wins. I mean, his record in the regular season is insane. Like, I believe it's like 40-some-odd wins and like only 19 or 18 losses. Mm-hmm. But when he is off, this entire team is off. And this team goes with the way Lamar Jackson goes. So it's going to be really interesting to see which Lamar we see against this Titans team in London, because we've seen games where the Titans defense have had Lamar's number, and we have seen other games where Lamar has kind of broken through and carried this Ravens team to a victory over the Titans.
Our official Titans-Ravens predictions coming up next, plus Titans keys to victory. We'll get into that coming up next. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is half off a $50 gift card for Big Play Hendersonville. They offer everything from bowling to laser tag, indoor go-karts, bumper cars, and arcade fantastic food, and so much more. Right now, you can get half off a $50 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals and check out all that they offer.